Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Ain't doing it alone.
Ain't doing it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Politicians, well,
color. Everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody. Well, see, we need, wake up, everybody. We
come
need,
on, wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in
bed.
No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up, all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the baby.
They're the ones who's coming up. And I love this song, my theme song. Wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. Times of thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world, to Bring Back the Family. I am your host, Kathy Clyburn, and I am so happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, focused on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. So first, we're going to acknowledge God with the scripture and a prayer. And I just want to introduce our other host. We have Jacqueline Vandegrift, who's going to do the scripture. And we have Rebecca Johnson, who is going to do the prayer. And we have Callie Pierce and our youth hosts, Shania Cox and Jacob Ripron. A lot of those young folks. We have our awesome Pastor Earl from Runner for Christ Ministries and bring up the real, that biblical perspective. Always good to hear. So we're going to open up and hear from Jacqueline Vandegrift. Hello.
Well, hi there. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
And the listening audience, good evening. I'm reading from Romans 12, 1 and 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person to change the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Measuring yourself by the faith God has given us, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord and the blessings to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie. That was beautiful. I'm Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm honored to open us up in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for your grace and power and mercy and patience. We thank you for waking us up again, for another new chance to do better, for opportunities to serve, for your word, for your presence, for all the blessings we have already received and those we haven't received yet. We thank you in advance, Lord. We thank you for Sister Kathy, Pastor O, Sister Jackie, Sister Callie, Shania Jacob, and everyone who will participate, and for every person listening to Bring Back the Family tonight. Thank you for purpose, problems that make us stronger. Thank you, Lord, that you know all things and that you care for and guide us. We invite you into our lives to show us the path to joy. We ask for you to give us each the motivation to help the children on our block. We ask that you give each of us the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. We ask for these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, thank you. Bring back the family. Wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. Time for thinking ahead. And, you know, that's the song that we first started out with when we first started this show, and it is the theme song for this show, for us to just wake up. And, you know, this song should give us a lot to think about. Because something was going on back then that gave them the reason, the care, the concern to even write this song. And it is it's a call for people to wake up, to get engaged and to make a difference. It talks about hatred, war and poverty, challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. So whose responsibility is it? Wake up. No more backwards thinking, time for thinking ahead. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. So who is responsible and who is willing to sacrifice and take the responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Who's going to be in charge of the next chapter, passing the torch, the next generation, running the race, doing great things because we prepared them? We can do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a burden or a nuisance to anybody in the community, our neighbors and others around this world. And just picture it, you know, parents and young people not, you know, being adult children, not having to worry about them when they go out into the community because you put them out there right, okay? So Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens, so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around this world. And all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation, as parents and community, comes from me and you. Someone did it for us, so we have to do the same for them. Okay? We should know what they need. We should know what they need. Okay? So listen, how do we plan to do this? How do we plan to do it? We plan and propose to do this block by block. Block by block. Imagine that. Open up your mind and just imagine block by block and what you could do block by block. Remember how we used to have block clubs? And I'm sure some people still have block clubs. So on your block, in your block club, form another club. A club about the youth. Block by block. Do something on your block. Do something on your block for our youth, for your youth, the youth that you see right there in front of you on your block, you know, that's struggling and maybe can't read or write, okay? So what are we going to do? Block by block, do something on your block. We're going to share. We're going to care. We're going to love. We're going to be a positive role model and a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by, okay? Just take a look back on our own life and what we were given and the opportunities we were given and the love and everything that we were shown to get us where we are today. And we could start looking forward to something that's going to be positive and good to remember. You know, we have good memories of our childhood. So isn't it fair that they would have, our youth would have good memories of their own childhood? Imagine that. Imagine that. And I'm sure that we do want the best for all of our youth and all of our children. We want the best for our own children. So if we want the best for our own children, just go a little further. Reach out, look outside your door on your block, and whatever you're giving your children, and it's working, share it. Share it. Share it. Okay? So block by block, do something on your block that's going to help the kids, okay? We're going to talk about reading and writing. That is most important. Because it's just so far that we could go if we cannot read or we cannot write. Preparation or prison. We're going to talk about that. And it's all connected. If you can't read and write, what you going to do? What plans do we have for the future of our youth? What are we preparing our youth to do in the future or for their future? How do you know our children can read? Do we know, in fact, if they can read? So reading and writing are related and are very important tools that will benefit our whole life. The prison system is planning for our children and have calculated how many jail cells they will need by the test scores of fourth graders. So the prison system, I'm going to say that again, is planning for your children. They're planning better than we are and have calculated how many jail cells they would need by the test scores of fourth graders. Okay. They're planning way ahead. And, you know, the pandemic set us back, but we are ready for the comeback. And the youth are our future. We're going to also discuss what we impart in our children, what kind of seeds we are planting, what kind of seeds we're planting in them, what are we showing them, what are we teaching them, what are we preparing them for, and what do we expect to receive as they grow and develop, okay? Facts. We're going to give you the facts and some percentages of as far as the reading and being prepared in this prison system, okay, and how it all relates. Because if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Give a youth a vision that don't have a vision, okay? I always say when you decide to have children, it becomes their turn. We had our turn. We had our turn to be loved, nurtured. It is their turn now. It's their turn to get what they need to make it in this world. And bring back the family focus on the youth. it had, you know, it's just coming to our attention that our youth, you know, so many issues and concerns that's going on, but it's come to our attention about the reading and the writing, the tool that our kids need that's going to get them to the next level of life. That's really a part of their everyday living, reading and writing. And so it's coming to everybody's attention that our kids are getting out of school and graduating and can't read and write. Or even not graduating, maybe they're dropping out. Okay? And it's very important and crucial to know how to read and write. It's a very powerful tool, as Rebecca Johnson says, that can get you to the next level, okay, in all levels of life. It's just like having your toolbox when you go and fix something. You know, you have everything in there you need, okay? So preparation of prison. What are we preparing our youth for? What preparation are we making? Are we preparing them to make good decisions and have a good life of peace and freedom? Or are we preparing them for prison? The prisons are full. Who prepared them for those steps? They're full. What kind of seeds are we planting? Are we planting seeds of success or seeds of failure? Or no seeds at all? What do you want to see happen to our youth? What do you want to see happen? What do you want to see happen with the seeds that you plant? What do you want to see happen if you've given them what they need? Or what do you think is going to happen if we don't plant any seeds? Okay? We're going to stay on this subject. It's going to be our focus because it's important. Because we can't go any further. They can't go any further if they can't read and write. Okay? And it also affects the behavior. And all that, it all goes together. Behavior, not being able to read, being disruptive, you know. And, you know, once they graduate or get to a point where there's no more help for them, that, you know, our young people will feel, they'll feel cheated. They'll feel robbed. They'll feel like somebody didn't give them what it was that they were supposed to have. Okay? And what they were supposed to have. Okay? And then they'll be angry. They'll be angry at others. They'll be angry at, you know, their family, their parents. They'll just be angry. They'll even be angry at their teachers. And that puts us all in danger once they get angry. Once they don't have what they need, that makes them angry because they don't have it. They don't know which way to go. It's like, you know, you're going in circles. And so the streets got something for them. Okay? And so if you want to have a comment, have questions, press 1 and we will open your mic. And we have our host, Jacqueline and Rebecca Johnson and Callie Pierce. And so we're just going to get right into this. We're going to get into the facts of all this, you know, that goes the reading, the writing, the prison system, the anger, the behavior, all of that. We're going to get into that, and we're going to talk about it. And hopefully that it'll stir you to be able to do something on your block and support what we're doing here. Tell somebody else about bringing back the family. Tell somebody else about block by block. Tell somebody else that our kids are not reading and don't know how to read. If you can't read, you can't write. Can't write, you can't talk. And it just leads to all kind of life problems. And we're in a mess. Okay? So thank everybody for tuning in. when you get your notification, send it out, invite people to come in and listen, and we're going to get this thing going. And it's going to be, in the end, it's going to be a success. God's going to be pleased with what we do. So, Rebecca, we are ready for all those facts and what you have for us. Yeah, and Sister Jackie, we are ready. So,
good. I'm so glad we're doing this topic again.
Yes, yes.
It's so important. There's a connection between poor literacy, dropout rates, and crime. So I'll repeat myself from last show about how 70% of all incarcerated adults cannot read at a fourth grade level. And also how I learned that those who are unable to express enjoyment actually enjoy less. So if you're enjoying your life the least, you're going to be dissatisfied in addition to cutting yourself away from the means to make a comfortable living and also putting yourself on the path to prison or putting your children on that path. So in order to express enjoyment, you need words. And everyone needs a collection of words at their disposal because building a vocabulary is a job. It involves reading and repetition. They even did a study at the College of Social Work in Ohio State University about how the more prisoners changed their linguistic habits, by the time they were released, it was more likely that they would stay out of trouble. So my parents put emphasis on secular education, and my father encouraged me to read more, even though I already love to read. And the love of reading has served me my whole life. I'm 55 years old, but I remember my first book, The Littlest Rabbit. The book had humor, and it made me laugh, and I've been a lover of reading ever since then. So in your spiritual life, the Word of God is a weapon. In the same way, your ability to use words in your secular life is also a weapon. Words are powerful. You can use words to magnify the things you want to increase. Like the scripture that says to set your mind and keep it set on things that are above. This will cause your words and thoughts to stay on things that are above too. And this will cause you to experience more of things that are above. So if you don't learn how to enjoy reading, you might not read the manual for the thing you bought that has a critical piece of information that's not obvious. Or you might miss something that is obvious just because you didn't take the time to read the manual. And this reminds me of the Word of God. If you don't read the basic instructions before we leave Earth, the Bible, there are some key points that you're missing for sure. And since we have access to the Word of the one who knows all things, then we should hurt ourselves to find out what it says. So to give a child a love of reading is a priceless gift that can open doors and provide enlightenment their whole life. Development of reading and writing is a long process, and if they get lost along the way, they'll need help to get back to what they missed. And my last point is how reading is fundamental, and it'll only help you. And writing is also a help. So learning to use words to express your thoughts will make you powerful and useful. If you write the words of God on the tablet of your heart and put the Lord's words inside you, they'll serve as a guide for your whole life. And that is the main points I wanted to make in this show, since I didn't say, though, most of that last show.
Good information. Good information. Reading is so important because it really it entails every aspect of our life. Every job that you go to, mostly professionally or just going to get a job, you have to know how to, you know, read and to understand, you know, everything that you do. Miss Jackie,
are you with me? And speaking of getting a job, when you fill out your application and you show your resume, your reading and writing skill level is showing. So this either going to help you or hinder you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I know, like I said, we're talking about with the prison system, we're it's like they're winning. And we're losing, you know, because they're full of our people, and you wonder how are they winning? What's causing them to win?
They're money motivated, and they're making a certain dollar amount off of every person that's incarcerated.
Yeah, so I think more emphasis should be put on, you know, telling our kids about, you know, those places like that, and which we do, I'm sure we do, but informing them, because, I mean, like you say, it's money-driven. Okay, we could have that same drive because a lot of people invest in those prisons, and so why can't we be on the investment side? You know,
we
can teach our kids to be on the investment side of that and not be in the system and just be a part of the system in a positive way, be the lawyers, the judges, the prosecutor, the, you know, all those titles that they have, the guards, the wardens, or just the investor, because people do invest money in that, so they really don't want that to go away. And that's why we have to, like, you know, jump in and really, you know, bulldoze this thing to get our, you know, kids to reading. Just start with the reading now, because we see that that's very important, because you can't really go any further if you can't read.
And
very important.
Reading experience that you get is helping you to learn how to write. So it's, like you said, it all goes together.
It all goes together. Like I said, they. I know when I got out of high school, I didn't feel like I was prepared. And I could say these things about being disappointed and feeling like being cheated and feeling like somebody robbed me, because I was like, okay, why don't I know what these other people know? Why was I not prepared? Why did I have to go in and basically start all over? What is it that we're getting that, you know, that we're not getting that, you know, other people in districts and school systems are getting? So,
you know,
yeah.
Sister Kathy, mm-hmm. The same thing happened to me when I left high school and got to college and found out that my level was way less than what was happening in the freshman year of college. But understanding that the public school system was built to prepare children for factory work.
Wow. And it still is.
And it still is.
It still is, yeah. It still is. If you want to get into the conversation, just press 1, and I will open up your mic. Let us know that you're interested in this topic and that you're interested in the youth and what we're experiencing right now all over the world with our youth not being able to read and write, and knowing that it's important. You know, is anybody telling them that it's important? It's important for you to know how to read and write. Because I tell you, I deal with, you know, just kids on my block. And I'm not going to say they're totally lost. It's just, you could tell that it's not being pushed. We read, but they're just getting into it. It's like baby steps. These kids are 10, 12, 6, 7. Some of them read very, very well. But I don't think that they know why, you know, the importance of it and what they need to do to be serious about. I know they're kids, but it's a lot of things that they that we should still tell them, even though they're kids. Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I know that Miss Jackie works with her work with youth and her family members to get them where they are today as far as their reading and their education. She got her nephew right now that she's pushing him through, and he gets like one-on-one help. It's like case management. She treats him like it's a case management, managing everything about his schoolwork, making sure he stay abreast and stay aware of all his assignments and his grades, and making sure that they know that those grades are important, every grade. And if you fall under A, you know, that is not acceptable. It's unacceptable to fall under A. So that's giving them thought. You know, giving them a lot to think about. But if you never hear it, or you never let the kids know that grades are important and that reading is important and writing is important, and that if you don't have it, then there's places that you don't, that's going to lead you that you don't want to go. So
that's so true.
Got a lot of work.
And also, I was an AB student in school, but those were gifts. You know, I needed that supplemental one-on-one in order to keep up. But now, even though I had A's, and I had a big head, too. I had A's and B's, so I thought, ooh, college ain't going to be that hard.
Right.
But I got there and found out I was behind.
Yeah. We don't realize, and we don't know until we get done with school that we're not getting what we're supposed to get. And I remember when, I think it was, I know my sister was, I can't remember, well, she had young people to come to help her with their writing. And these kids were in, it's an honors English. So if you're in honors English, English before that should be a breeze, right?
Agree.
Mm-hmm. So, but they weren't even there. But they had them in honors English. So let me know that they were still, you know, not teaching them. And like you said, had them, make them think that they're getting A's and B's. I always tell parents, I say, always make sure your kids know what they really know. If they're giving them A's and B's, you know, to make sure that they know what they say, what those A's and B's are. That they're really making that grade, that they really know what it is that they're, you know, got what they've been taught. And most of the time they don't. Most of the time they don't. Yeah. So like I said, it's like we're preparing, what are we preparing them for? And do we, I wonder, do we ask ourselves these questions? What do we want our youth to be when they grow up? What do we want them to accomplish? You know, we know that prison system is full. So do we ever think about how it's getting full? Do we ever think about, okay, if I'm not providing the means for that child to make it to the next level, where are they going to go? Or are they going to just stay with me? You know, like I said, kids are they're very angry, and they're upset, and they're wondering, well, what happened? You know, once they get to the next level, and then they really don't know where to go or have anywhere to go. No one has a plan for them. And I know we started out, you know, just talking about going to college and getting having career fairs and talking about, you know, what they want to do when they grow up as far as careers. But it's like we kind of jumped over what the real problem was or is. They can't even think about any of those things until they know how to read.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And exposure to reading is critical.
Mm-hmm. It is. Very. Miss Jackie, you there? You out there with us? Let me see. Okay, got your mic open.
Yes, I am. I was just listening to all this good information. But, you know, sometimes, you know, my viewpoints are that some people say they so far out there. And that's one of the reasons, because I am an advocate reader. Some family members can't understand why I turned the television on less. My son had bought me a television, stayed in the box for the longest because I enjoyed reading more than actually watching television. But sometimes we have parents that check behind our kids. The kids get A's and D's like Miss Johnson. And when she got to college, because the reason being is one of the major things the school system is doing, they're taking the book out of the hands of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They'll order the books, but they'll make print copies and give them a piece of paper to read.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
How can your child enjoy reading the Bible if they don't pick the Bible up because they're not accustomed to books? So that's one reason, way of taking the Bible out, because if they're reading the Bible just on their phone or tablet or computer, what happens when they shut it down?
Or when the lights go out.
Or when the lights go out. Well, with the lights, you know, you're right. They can use a flashlight, but yet some technology won't work. But the point is that if you take, if your child from kindergarten all the way to the 12th grade has never put their hands on a book, they know nothing about, well, we just want to look at it online. That is something that's psychological about that book in your hand, reading from that book, that sends a message to the brain that some kind of way that knowledge sticks there. But now, going back to the writing, and we had this on the show earlier, ladies, and when I make this comment, you're going to remember the acronym RACE. Always rewrite the question in your own words. What was it? Rewrite. I'm trying to think. It was rewrite. R was for the rewrite. E was for something else, but anyway, A was the answer. Was it rewrite? No, it was race. Rewrite, answer, cite, and the last part, explain. If you're writing your paper and the question is, let's use the example about the golf. What part of golf can you see that you fit in? Rewriting that, it's amazing how the game of golf
can reshape your whole life if you can see yourself fitting in there. That just came off the top of the head, okay? Then answering it with statistics showing how much learning this skill can be very lucrative for an individual. The average caddy can make from $1,500 to $3,000 a month just being a caddy for part-time, just part-time because they don't work a whole lot of hours. But the point is that, so right there you have restated the question, you have answered why, and you cited from whatever articles that you found this information from, because that way you know you didn't write the original, and you explained that learning the game of golf can be very beneficial to a golfer because they rely on the caddy for their insight and vision ahead of the game. Once you learn that, come very valuable to a player. And so I learned that when Jacob was in the fourth grade. But he was going to a home school that was up in Grand Rapids. So they had a different perception of, they were teaching things that they wasn't learning in the inner city, in the urban areas. Our children wasn't learning how to use that acronym. If they're writing whatever you write, if you're writing an answer for history, do the same thing. For English, do the same thing. If it's a word problem with math, do the same thing. Any of your subjects, that way you pull it in. And 9 times out of 10, something is going to register in your brain how to get it right. So if our children are not taught this and we're not getting the word out to them, that's why they've fallen short in college, because they were not prepared. And see, another thing that they do, because the school system has a very good curriculum, and I know this for a fact, that the curriculum that Ecorse High School has, it's an outstanding curriculum. But no child really wants to go that detail. But we have to be the ones to push them. You're not going to be, I'm not your friend. Okay, so you're not going to, when I call, you automatically going to get a little ticked. I don't care about you being ticked. I don't care about your attitude. But the point is, I'm concerned about you being able to stand up on your own 2 feet. So we look at it. Our children are not reading the Bible because the school system is taking the book out of their hands. But it's our place, the church, to put a book in their hand. Okay?
Put it back in.
Okay? Because as long as you know how, good example. Let's use this hypothetically. When they shut everything down from COVID, all these stars and rich folks that had housekeepers that wasn't living on the premises and were coming in and out, they couldn't come and clean their house. But if you never knew how to clean a house, boy, you had a very nasty house. Because some people never have had. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you look at the same concept. Your child has never picked a book up or seems to have a library in their home, they won't know how to pick up the Bible. You know, the Bible was the number one bestseller book in the world. But the amount of people that actually read it was very low because they didn't understand what they were reading. Because they mixed so many chapters. You got to go from one chapter to another chapter to another chapter to get one answer. Well, you have to know how to be persistent to do that. So they have a glossary there to tell you, boom, 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 boom. But if you're not accustomed to reading, how are you going to know to go to the glossary?
All right.
So that's why our children don't know how to write. Because they have a curriculum, but they are not taught how to really expose the children to really understand the curriculum. Because we put it here for you. If you get it, you get it. If you do the work, you get an A. If you don't do the work, you fail. That's where the families have to come in and say, wait a minute, let me look at your homework. Let me look at your resources. Let me see what you're doing. How are you doing? How did you arrive at that? Well, did you read the instructions? Going back to what you said, Ms. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Instructions. And you want to know why the ceiling fan failed, because you didn't read the instructions. Okay? You want to know why your child got a C and not an A, because they didn't read the instructions. And a lot of time the questions that they give the kids have three questions in one. You got to stop that child. Write them out on a piece of paper. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now answer each one of them. Okay? You might have to have a separate piece of paper. But you have to teach your child to do that. Because guess what? I was reading something and they said, if your child is taking an SAT test and they see the word always, automatically that you know that's the wrong answer. Mm-hmm. I mean, if our kids think about that.
Right.
So the best thing to do is find the most quiet time to teach our children to read. Okay? And a lot of them, when nothing is moving, very few cars are moving. Because most of our kids like to stay up late. So guess what? Since you like to stay up late, we're having a reading contest at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
A reading contest. Guess who want to go to bed early?
Mm-hmm.
You want to make them go to bed early? We're having a reading contest.
Mm-hmm.
We're making Kool-Aid and having popcorn, and we're just going to watch a movie. But before the movie, we're going to have reading time. You got to be creative.
That's such a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So that's why they have a problem reading, because the majority of the time is something about that book. I'm going to tell you something else. Remember when Bill Gates and his wife came up with that new math concept? When we were going to school, one time one the twos and the threes, you had to know them to a certain level before you moved to the next one. Not just one student, the whole class had to know their timetables. They stood up and went around the room and did those timetables. And when they introduced the fours, everybody had to study them. I remember at the Queen, what was that teacher's name? Nice lady. She used to have the teachers, the parents come in on her lunch break, and she would provide, they would provide lunch and snacks for them, but she would teach the parents what the kids were learning. So when it came time to do their homework, they knew the process, and the kids thought their parents were so smart. Okay, Miss Cars. And the reason I knew it, because I was working for a company that was grading the school system, and I was monitoring the teacher's curriculum, and she would bring them in on her lunch break. She would provide lunch for them, and she would teach the parents how to do the math problem. So when the kids got home and was doing the problem, the parents went over there and could check it and see if they were right or wrong. And the kids said, oh, my parents are so smart. And they did not know that they were teaching them. But sometimes you have to do that. But then you say, well, right, we were talking about it. And I'm going to let somebody else speak. My parents are busy. When we were, I was the president of the PTO, what we did, we pulled the community in. Okay? There was some senior citizens in the neighborhood who knew the parents of the other ones. We pulled them in. And the parents that we worked as a team and the parents that had to work, they provided snacks for the kids. And we made sure that every morning the children had all of them. You have a certain time that everybody could go get something to eat before class started. Because a lot of kids come in and they're hungry. And then in the middle of the day, in the middle of the day, we had maybe 10 minutes where you could go and get a snack. And that snack gave them the energy to take them to the end of the school, the class. But we did this, and we helped the kids that by the time they got home, they didn't have to worry about homework because they knew their work and didn't have to take anything home. Because we came together and worked for helped the ones that was actually working. You can't afford to, your job won't allow you to be there. Well, guess what? If somebody picking your kids up for school, give them some gas money. And the person that is driving need to know that they need to accept the gas money. That car don't run off of air. Sometimes, you know, when you work and give them a little gift card and say, hey, here's a little coffee card, okay, so that you appreciate. Those kind of things are some of the things that we do in the network, in the community. Mm-hmm. If we want to have kids.
I'm so glad for your wisdom, mm-hmm. Sister Jackie. And I'm so glad we're doing this topic again. Mm-hmm. Push your children. Get them to stand up on their own 2 feet. Put a book in their hand. I remember encyclopedias. We don't have those anymore.
Mm-hmm.
the school system is taking books out of schools. I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. I know.
And I'm enough.
Go ahead.
No, sir. Go ahead. You go ahead.
Nope. Go ahead.
I was just going to say about how I don't watch TV either. It's bubblegum for the brain. And that we should get our children used to quiet time. And so no screens, no TV, just quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like what Jackie said about the community coming in and helping. And really that's what we need to do, get a better sense of community. I mean, that's what this is about, too. Yeah, I think we just gonna have to like knock on the doors and just really, you know, have just like getting a block club meeting together. It's gonna have to be a meeting of the minds in the block club, and the focus is gonna have to be the youth. And like you said, have quiet time. I don't know why parents can't think of things like that and don't, you know that their kids need these things and they need, I mean, because after you get grown and you're out there working and working hard, you would want your child to do better. So it seemed like you would make sure that they're reading because you know what you lost. You know what you didn't have or what you didn't get. And then it seemed like you would make it, you know, a little bit better for them to let them know, okay, you know, it's a trap out there for you. You got to read. You have to do this and just make sure that they do it. So I don't know. Like I said, it seems like the prison system is winning. And I don't know. It's like I don't know if everybody's just got blinders on or just, you know, don't want to see or don't want to even deal with the major problem that we have. I'm just a little, you know, confused right now because it's you know, it's like we're happy to go to funerals. We're happy. It seems like we're happy about these things because these are the things that we support, you know. And then we end up supporting the prison system. We end up, you know, we don't help them on this side. We have to help them on this side in order for them not going to the other side. So it seems like, you know, what I've seen is that parents support the prison system. They go to court for their kids, and they, you know, they go and show up to those things, but they won't show up to a parent-teacher's conference or show up to their activities and sporting events and things like that. But they will go to those court hearings and things like that. So, oh boy, we have a lot of work to do, a lot of work to do. And I guess we can't stay in the house no more. We're going to have to get out. We're just going to have to make some noise. So just spread the word. Talk to these young people. Talk to the young folk about what they need to do to help their youth. You know, and we can't be afraid to talk to these young moms, these young men, these young mothers. We can't be afraid to talk to them because maybe sometimes they really don't know. Maybe they really don't know. I had to talk to one of my neighbors, and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I had to pray and ask God to give me you know, the way to say it and the way that it would be peaceful and that they would understand. And so they were playing this just terrible, raunchy music. And all these little girls and kids were around, and I just had enough. And I was like, boy, this is just not right. And so I just texted her. And I said, you know, this music is too harsh for the kids. And immediately the music went off. And some good music.
That's a very good point, too, Sister Kathy, that it's harsh for the children. It's harsh for us,
yeah,
too, but.
Yeah, it was harsh for me that day. I was like, oh, Lord, what I'm going to do? Because it happened before. And I was just on my way over there, and I was like, oh, wow, the mom is out there. So she noticed this happening. I was about to check the dude, you know. And then when I looked and saw the mom, I'm like, well, she's there. And so, but the next time I was like, I just couldn't take it because it got more and more raunchier and just so disrespectful to the little girl stuff there. And so, yeah, I asked God about it first, and he gave me just the exact words to say, and that music went off right away. It went off. And so I said, okay, well, now we could go over there, and I could take my little one over there, and we could go and swim and have some fun over there. And so she said, well, you know, thank you for that. I respect you, you know, what you say, like that. And so we hugged, and that was that. So, yeah. But sometimes they just don't know. I don't know how, but they just don't know. And we can't be afraid. We have to go ahead and tell them in love, you know. Ask God first, for real, because you never know what, you know, kind of reaction you're going to get. So, yeah, we have to start communicating with these young folks. Our neighbors communicated with us and let us know when we were doing wrong or when we were, you know, they were involved. So we can't be afraid. We have to, you know, just, you know, get back to, you know, to what we know. And, try to talk to these young folks in love and just let them know what they need to do for their kids, okay? Because the prison system is winning. They're winning. They're winning them over. We want to help them on this side before they get there. They are making plans. They're making plans, planning for our children, their babies, and they're planning for them from the fourth grade. They got cells and buildings already built and ready for our babies to go in when they get to that point, if they get to that point. So if they're planning with the scores and the from fourth graders, they're going ahead and they're going to build. They're building those buildings now. They're sitting and manned and they're operational. Just not there. The kids just not there yet. But they got them ready for them for when they come. So they way, way ahead of us. Way ahead. And so we got to get a better plan. We have to get a better plan. Okay? Because they're winning. And that's why we have to get this word out. And we have to get people interested and get them motivated so that we can have a world that's livable. Because if, you know, these angry ones grow up and they feel like they've been cheated, they're coming after somebody. So if you're a teacher and you're participating and not teaching these kids and not, you know, giving them the love and the support that they need, when they see you on the street, I'm going to pray for you. I had a teacher that I ran into out at the river I hadn't ran into, and she ended up having an altercation in her classroom. And in the mix of it, she had a stroke. And so the kids, one of the young men in the classroom said, oh, something wrong with Mrs. I forget what he called her, Mrs. L or something like that. And run and get some help. He sent somebody to get some help for her. And she said, well, don't go get them. Don't go get them. He said, you can't even talk. What you telling me not to go get them for? And so they recognized that something was wrong with her. And so they went and got help. And they helped her, you know, got to her to the hospital in time. And immediately she said that the kids calmed down and everybody was concerned about her. Because she is a good teacher. She cared about the kids. Now, if it was one of those teachers that they didn't care about, heaven knows what they'd have did. they might have started tapping their feet and looking at the watch. And so that's why you have to, you know, you have to love these kids and be, you know, give them what they need. So if we think about, you know, the future and what it's going to be like if our kids can't read and write, where they're going, if we look just way ahead, who's going to take care of the next generation and the next generation? When is this thing going to stop? Yeah, it's rough. So, okay, anything else before we bring the awesome, awesome, awesome pastor on?
Yeah, one more thing.
All clear?
Just one more thing.
Mm-hmm,
when the inmates, they interview inmates who left school before getting their diploma and they were asked the reason why they dropped out, and a third of them said they lost interest or they experienced academic difficulty. So the help that Sister Jackie has given is what we all need.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's it.
And that's
one-on-one. One-on-one. Quality time. That good quality time. One-on-one. Just got to take some time out. Have to take that time out. I mean, it's an investment. If we don't invest now, we get nothing later. Like you said, what seeds are we planting? If we're not planting any seeds, we're planting ugly seeds, we're planting good seeds, we're planting, you know, no seeds at all, you're not going to get nothing. So, yeah. Yeah. So we don't want them to win. We want those numbers to come down, to come down. Because if you're not prepared to help yourself in the future, what you going to do? If we don't help
like
our
you
youth
did.
Now, we'll be victims of not helping later.
That's right. And like you said, to let them know it's a trap.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's a trap. So they should be reading every book they have. I got so many books, I'm just ready to just, if I could just go, and I plan to go to each one of these kids' houses and just take all of these books out of my house and just put them in their house and let them see books, you know. Maybe they'll pick them up. Who knows? But yeah, just form a book club on your block. Go buy some books and give them to the youth on your block. Let them know. Have a little conversation with them. Let them know how important it is to read, you know, and give them a book. Have them read it. Have them write about it. Give them $10 or whatever you can afford to give them. Tell them this is something that's valuable to you. This book is valuable to you. So you read it, you give me a book report for it, it's going to bring some value to you. You know, you're going to get rewarded. We're going to pay you to read, okay? Something like that. That's helping on your block. That's helping. Some writing materials. Give them some spelling words. Give them some word search. You know, give them some spelling words and have them spell them and study them and have a spelling test on Friday. Remember we used to have spelling tests on Friday? Every Friday we had a spelling test. Get them involved.
I remember that.
Get them involved in the book club. Have a spelling bee on your block. You know, teach them how to spell these words and then have a spelling contest. Okay? There's a lot of things that we could do to get them aware, and then they'll start to love to learn.
But you know, it's happening. Nowadays, you can actually, they could be in their home, and you can do it on Zoom.
That's right.
You could have a spelling contest, have them on Zoom, and ask them, go through the spelling words with each one of them, and ask them to spell it, and you can look at them. Even if they glance down at the paper, it's still sending a message in their brain. And you know what? And make it go through your group. If they don't want to get a tax write-off, they can donate to your group to get a tax write-off. And you can get a little gift card and give each one of the kids and keep a record of it. So if people don't have time for it, they can donate through your organization to help give a kid $10 in order to start earning this money.
That's right.
This is, your education is your business. Okay? You may have to run it like a bit. So if people don't have the time or they just don't have or the patience to deal with the younger generation, because some of them do have attitudes. So donate to your organization, and you can give that card to them based on their behavior if they earn it. If they earn it through a spelling. So there's many ways you can do it by supporting the people that have time to actually do it. Yeah. So, you know, if somebody want to donate, you can give your number out and they can send their donate. You could tell them how to send their donation in, and it's a tax write-off.
That's right. Yes, so we are registered now on Bring Back the Family block by block. And so we are going to be doing some great things in the community and for the youth and just getting that awareness out about what we need to do for our kids too or in our youth so that they can make it in this world. Yeah. It's going to be, we got to get out and we're going to make some noise. And, make sure people be accountable, held accountable for what, you know, for their children and the children around them. Bring that love back and that family back. Yeah, it can happen. It can happen. Okay, so yeah, you'll hear more about Bring Back the Family block by block and what you could do to support the youth and bring back the family. Okay? Thanks for that, Miss Jackie and Miss Rebecca. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Can't thank you enough. All right, awesome.
Hello.
You're welcome.
Hey,
a lot of,
what did I just hear? Did I just hear you say you registered? You for real? Oh, yeah. That is good news.
Yeah. Yes, sir. We got to get rolling. We shopping. It's been a long time coming.
That is good news. That is good news because you know we all in. You know, especially on that. And you talking about, oh, hello, everybody. Hello, Jackie. Hello, Rebecca. Hello, Blog Talk Radio audience. Everybody.
Hello.
Yeah. Awesome discussion as usual. And, you know, education is the key. I remember back in the day when I was at First Baptist Church, the Lord laid it on my heart to do something to get our kids more engaged in school because they were, you know, making it through, but just making it through. And so we came up with a plan. God gave me a plan, and my wife had to be involved in it because it meant money, and she runs the money, so I had to make sure we could fund it. And we started out just giving away candy for A's. The peppermints was the beginning. And then it went to the blow pop suckers. It went to those. Then it went to a quarter for an A, a 50 cent for an A, quarter for a B. Then it went to a dollar for each one. This was when I found out, wow, Jesus, you could have told me these kids got 10 classes. But anyway, in the end, we were giving away, I think, $140 a card market. And people were saying, well, you're paying kids good grades. That's why they get good grades. Well, they pay me to come to work, and that's why I get a paycheck. So they're earning it. They're not just getting it. They're earning it, and they're learning that if you apply yourself, you can earn it. And so we didn't listen to the naysayers. We just continued to incentivize them. I mean, the Lord incentivizes us to do anything and everything that we do because there are over, what, 8,800 promises in the Bible and 3,300 of them intended for us. And every one of them is prefaced by, if you do this, I'll do that. Okay, so incentivizing them to get good grades is not a bad thing. It is a good thing because they're going to be incentivized to do a whole lot of things in this life, okay? But getting good grades, and what we found was first there were, two or three people coming up showing their report cards. After they knew that there were rewards, every card marking, it's just more and more of them showed up. Who would have believed simply giving them a dollar for each A and 50 cents for B's and quarters for C's and dimes for D's? Who would have believed that they would all improve if it was a D and went to a C, if it was a B and went to an A? If, you know what I mean? Who would believe you could get that kind of improvement out of them for a dollar? Somehow it made school different. The teacher didn't have to chase them around to get a good grade no more. They wanted and would get mad if they didn't get that A. Why? Because you just shorted me. I'm going to get less money. Some of them was getting as much. And if you had good citizenship, that could get you double. Now the $10 is $20. And that's how it got up to be like $140 a card market. So, and then, of course, Running for Christ Ministry started. Now the incentive has greatly increased. If you graduate, the church gives each person a certain amount, a good amount, you know, just to say congratulations. And once that word spread from this group that came out this year to say, wow, this is how much they gave us to help us off, you know, to get off to a good start in our education, to say thank you or congratulate you, then the next group, they're expecting the same thing. And they want to graduate. Why? Because they want what they got. And so incentives are good. We are incentivized to work because of the check they give us. If they didn't give it to us, I don't think we'd do it. I mean, we may love what we do or not, but doing it for free, you know. But anyway, on this conversation, this is a real serious conversation. It's a deep conversation. It's one that really needs to be had, and you've gotten to the root of the problem in every community, not just our community, but every community today, because those lines between black and white are getting all crossed up, and a whole lot of white folks are falling into the place where black folks have been for years. They don't know how to deal with it, but it's been our life, so we know the struggle is real, and we know how to excel in the struggle, but they don't. And so listen to what the Lord says in Hosea chapter 6. We just went through this book. I forgot who taught it, though. It's my people are destroyed from, this is Hosea 4, verse 6, and a few of the verses that follow. I want you to listen to this. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. The more priests there were, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glorious God for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness. And it will be like the people, like the priests. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. This is a sad situation right here, a totally sad situation. God is warning, he's charging his priests with the failures of his people. Because the priests had ulterior motives for being priests versus doing it for the glory of God, the more the people sinned, see, the priests lived off of, you read Numbers 18, the priest lived off what was brought to the temple as an offering for God. God said, that's my portion, I give it to you. And so they lived off of that, literally lived off of it. And so the more the people sinned, okay, if you don't teach them how to really live for God, you just tell them a bunch of crap. The more the people sin, then the better off we are, because the more offerings they'll have to bring to get rid of their sins, okay? They'll have to make certain sacrifices, and of course, those sacrifices, the fat went to the altar, the blood was sprinkled on the altar, but the rest was given to them, which benefited them in a big way and made many of them wealthy, okay? And so they benefited off the people sinning. When you began the show, you're talking about they were building prisons. They were counting how many children are failing to learn how to read so they can know just how many prison cells they're going to need for those children, because what Jackie and Rebecca was talking about, if you're not prepared, you're going, and as you've said on many occasions, you're going to have to eat, you're going to have clothes, you're going to have somewhere to stay, and most likely you're going to turn to crime, and most likely you're going to end up in jail. And so they're benefiting off of this lack of knowledge that we are allowing to happen in whatever our neighborhood is, whether we're black, whether we're white, whether we're Chinese. We're all together collectively becoming comfortably numb, okay? I don't know what has happened, how it happened, but we no longer thrive to know. And again, I faced it when I tried to teach a young adult group at our church, and I started talking about things that I knew from books that I assumed were in school that they were reading. But question after question, just I was more and more puzzled until I talked with one of the teachers, and they told me how school is today versus how it was when I was there. And again, it's amazing. And so that lack of knowledge, that lack of, like Jackie was talking about, not having a book in your hand, getting a piece of paper. And this paper is to prep you to pass a test. It's not a whole book. It's what you need to know to answer that question so we can get money for the school. It's amazing. But because of this lack of knowledge that the people have, now God holds the people responsible too for having knowledge. Okay, because at the bottom he said, I'm going to punish them and I'm going to punish you. Okay, so the people have a responsibility to educate themselves, not just depend on somebody else. Okay? Parents were given a responsibility in Israel's economy, in that under the Old Covenant, Old Testament economy, they were given the responsibility to educate their children. They didn't have public schools. And so they were given that responsibility to teach them about God and to teach them about life. Joseph, who raised Jesus, had the responsibility of teaching Jesus how to read and write. And if he couldn't teach him, he had the responsibility to get him somebody, a scribe from the community, to do that for him, because those were the ones who could. They were literate. And we know that Jesus could read and write. So it is the responsibility of the parent first, before you ever think about a public school, before you, you know, that is the whole reason parents exist. Now, parents today, because of the way we choose to live, could be, you know, any kind of situation. But still, the responsibility is there. However that child has come to you, it's your responsibility to pour into them. You know, you're an adult. You know what they're going to need. You know what it's like if they don't learn how to read. Get them a book.
That's right.
Sit down and read the book with them. Let them act like they're reading the book when they can't even hardly talk. Let them, you point at some words and teach them to point at words. We have now, I have a set of DVD, all kinds of Bibles on DVD, and you can literally sit there on the couch and pop it into the television, and they're going to read, but you can actually see the words and follow along. I cannot tell you how many words I have learned to use that way. So there's too many ways. I heard somebody talking about Sister Vandegrift. She was talking about how this teacher, Ms. Cars, would not only educate the children, but quickly figure out there's a connection here between them and their parents. They're going to be here in my class for an hour, but they're going to be with them parents all week long. I need to educate them parents. Mm-hmm. And see, if we don't want happening in our culture in America what happened in Israel, and we have to look at it bigger. It has to be bigger than our community because it's happening all over America. And if a house divided against itself falls, we have to look at this nationwide. But every thing starts with a seed. Everything starts with a seed. Bring back the family is that seed that God has planted in this area to raise up a giant plant. If nothing else, it's to hold people accountable. I heard that tonight. It's to hold people accountable for the responsibility that we have to not just see the problem and say somebody need to do something. No, we see the problem. Maybe if we think about it like this, God intends for me to do something. You know, somebody asked me, why do I come on here every week? Why have I obligated myself to be here on Bring Back the Family every week? Because the Lord has shown me what he's doing. He's trying to save this next generation. And he's raising up people who prayerfully people will listen to, because we won't listen to the celebrities because they have ulterior motives for doing what they're doing. And then we have to deal with our own insecurities about them, our jealousies, our envies of them. Okay? And so God is raising up people who you know. People who are not celebrities, they're your next door neighbor. They're Miss Kathy down the street and screaming at the top of, save this generation, bring back the family. That's the problem in everybody's community is the breakdown of the family. Mm-hmm. I heard it said tonight that they sat down, they gave it to us, they taught us, they trained us, they poured into us, they emptied into us. When did we stop emptying? When did we take our glass and just let it be full, but it ain't overflowing? I think the psalmist said, my cup runneth over. And the whole purpose of that is God had blessed me so well that I have enough to run over to bless somebody else. But if we don't get this knowledge thing together, I mean, think about it. The devil is raising up a generation who can't read the Bible. Okay, not only can they not read a book, okay, but they can't read the Bible either. But thank God that he done ran around the devil and put it where all they got to do is press play, and they can hear it read. But knowing how to read, I've always loved reading. I thought back in the day I was stealing Dr. Seuss books, but my mother and father was paying for them. They was as happy I was reading. I started reading cereal boxes. As I'm eating the cereal, I'd read every word on the box, front, back, and side. Me and my brother Christopher, we would do that every time we sat down. But we were set up. My mother and father would place things, and we thought that's just the way it was. But no, they knew us, and they knew how to reach us, and they did their best to reach us right where we were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they knew John, they knew he would go to college. They knew Richard, they were different. They knew me and Christopher weren't going nowhere near college, but they knew we would get skills. And so they set us up. They set it up for us to walk right into that. And so we have to be that intentional. And see, my mother and father never made it past the eighth grade. They had to leave work to help raise the family, help provide for the family. And so they wanted us to have a better education than what they had, because they knew without an education, like it says in that song, life ain't very sweet. And that's just the reality. I mean, you, even if you don't go to school, I learned how to work on cars long before I was working on cars. I got my first car in 1972. I went to school for auto mechanics in 1980. I had taken motors out and put them back in. I had taken transmissions out and put them back in, doing brakes, tune-ups, and everything else. Then I went to school. But you know what I found out when I went to school? How much I did not know about cars. And what I was doing by, because I saw somebody else do it but didn't quite know how it worked. When I went to school, I found out how it worked. And like Rebecca, when she hit school and found out how much she did not know, when I thought, I was working on people's cars. But when I went to school, Kathy, I'm telling you, when I went to school, I was like, oh, wow, I did that completely wrong. I hope the people made it. I was like, that was completely wrong. I hope they will don't follow. But, you know, school will take the natural gifting that God has given you. Spiritual gifts are, you know, in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, right? And Ephesians talks about how we get equipped. But natural giftings, God will take you to school so you can hone your skills and find out some things. You naturally know this stuff, right? But school is going to help you refine it. You know, you'll understand why that motor never did start for you. You'll understand that you can't pour water in certain places inside of an engine because you didn't know what hydrostatic lock was. You know, water does not compress, and if it gets inside of a cylinder, when the piston comes up for that compression stroke and the valves are closed so it can compress, well, water won't compress, and so the piston stops and the connecting rod don't because the crank is turning it, so it just snaps and now your motor's all tore up. But when you go to school, you learn that kind of stuff and you avoid those kinds of mistakes. So, yeah, you know, this is a subject that needs to be talked about continuously because that is the root of the problem. Same thing the Lord said, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. And what's destroying our communities? Our kids with a lack of knowledge. And you're right about reading. I was never so shocked to hear 12th graders and here, read this, and then listen to them struggle through a sentence. And I'm like, Jesus, these people are about to graduate. They can't read. They can't read. They run past periods. They trip over commas. They get paralyzed at a semicolon, don't know what to do. Or exclamation points, they read wrong. They read down instead of up. And I was like, Jesus. So I got confused. And I had to go find a teacher and ask them, what are they teaching them today? And but these people were getting ready to graduate. So I'm like, how did this happen? How did you get to the 12th grade and can't read? How did that happen?
Yeah, you just wonder, are the teachers being held accountable for this? It's just like, how could you?
But it's all about
like that.
Finances. What do you hear about them? Count day. Let's get them in school today. We don't even care if they come tomorrow, but let's have them in school on count day. I remember the thing that the test scores was atrocious. And you're wondering, how are you graduating and you cannot read? How does that even happen? Talking about dropping the ball. But again, you have to go back to where the children are being raised. You have to go back there because that's where it starts. It wasn't the school who taught me how to read. It was my parents who put reading materials all around me. And being naturally nosy, I opened up books. And like you heard Rebecca say, encyclopedias. Do they even have those? I mean, you could hardly, National Geographic and all of those things with all the animals and everything. Do they even see this or is it all in their phone? God, they're missing out. But you know what? We're going to have to bring back the family. That's what has to happen.
Yep.
And the work can't stop either. You know, John the Baptist, I bet you, you know, John the Baptist got pretty shook up in the midst of his ministry and sent to a couple of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one that should come or do we look for another? That's because of all his preaching and compelling and prophesying, and people were still acting crazy. And so he had to know for sure, Jesus, are we on the right track? Am I on the right track here? And Jesus said, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Go back and tell John that the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised, and blessed are those who are not offended in me. And what he meant by that is his humanity. Because, you know, everybody had in mind that Jesus was going to come here like some big old giant superstar and just anybody say something wrong, he slapped the skin off their face and keep walking. But no, he came riding on a donkey. Zechariah 9:9, behold, your king comes to you riding on a donkey on the foal of a colt, completely humble. That's a picture of humility. Yeah, but, you know, John wondered. But, yep, stay on the road, Kat. It's a long road. But you know, it's a treasure, and every one of these shows produce treasure in
them. Hallelujah.
So you know it's going to have to produce something here on earth. So you, Rebecca, and Jackie, y'all are made for this. I mean, y'all are such a natural. I just love listening to y'all talk. You know, I really do. I just love listening. How do you think I get all of this? All of this is
cool.
Is what I heard y'all say. But then the Holy Spirit put his spin on it and lets me know that this is the work of God. And I know God going to get the victory. He is not going to fail. That is not going to happen. So that means this is a good work.
Yes.
This is a good work.
No, we're not going to stop. We're going to be out in the field. We're going to let the kids run this show. In a minute, we're going to be out there working. The kids going to come in and run this show every Friday. And I'll just pass it on down.
Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, yes, they pick it up. They see the need. They got the voice.
Mm-hmm.
They can reach their generation. They can teach us. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, Pastor, again, see, like we talked about last week, that everything that we talk about is something in the Bible that covers it, that they went through. And so, yeah, and Hosea, I remember we just studied that not too long ago. So I can relate to what you were saying. And so it's always a story in the Bible that relate to what's going on in the world, and that makes it so cool, the seeds, the lack of knowledge, you know, and so that's refreshing to know. Yeah.
It really is. What caught me was how they were relishing over the people's ignorance, and when you had spoken about the building prisons based on how many people not going to learn how to read, is the same thing. They're getting rich off people's ignorance. And see, that's something that has to stop. And only we can stop it. And, you know, only we can stop it. Try our best to reach the parents of the children, whoever that is, and pray. And if we can't say much, prayer is a much better way, because the Lord can always get further with somebody
he
than
sure
we can. you can't tell them no.
Yes, sir. That is true. But you sure have to ask them first before you react.
Before you
go over and just take the music box and throw it on the ground.
Exactly. Before you be over there like Joshua down there and AI getting tore up.
Right.
And then come back and say, Lord, what went wrong? I went to do your will. Like, you probably should have talked to me first.
You should have just stayed in your bed and listened to the music.
Because until God gets ready to move, ain't nothing happening. All we can do is pour water and plant seeds. We got to trust God for the increase. Because, well, I'm telling you.
His plan is always better, for real. It is always better. Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor, thanks once again. I think we got Sister Pierce tuned in. You know, she was out there being that faithful, loving wife. And so she hasn't had time to give us all of her points of view. And so but she's coming back. As soon as she finished honeymoon, I think it's what it's been 3 years now, Miss Pierce. Are you with us there?
3 years honeymoon.
3 years, yeah. Miss Pierce, are you out there? Okay, she's still working, still honeymooning and trying to make a. Make it work. So that's her duty. That's her duty. So that's good. She's gonna have her testimony when this is, you know, when she gets back. So we continue to wish her well, her and Mr. Arthur Pierce. Mhm. Okay. Let me see. Yep. So it's a good show today. I enjoyed it. It was just plain good. And hey, so just you know. Tell somebody about Bring Back the Family. You know, if you really care and you really want to see change and you really want to help, just let somebody know what's going on here and what we're doing and what we're trying to do. Send them the flyer and the notification and so we get this train rolling. Okay. All right. Anything else anybody have, Pastor O? You got your church service on tomorrow, Running for Christ Ministries.
Yes, Elder Joseph Stevens will be preaching, and I'll be back on Sunday preaching part 11 of 1 Corinthians. We'll be looking at chapter 10, three things. We'll be looking at God's warnings to Israel for us to not be like them. And we can't hang out in the pagan temples and the church. And we need to pay attention to our religious freedoms that God has given us and walk circumspectly around those who might not be mature as we are or understand like we do. So those would be the three points we'll be making on Sunday.
Treat people kind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No matter what. Mm-hmm. That is great. Someone is going to be helped now, later, and in the future to bring back the family. And we just got work to do, and that's what we're going to do until we can't do it no more. And yes, we are. Oh, hey, Texas, I see you out there. Let me see. Okay. So, yep. I didn't get my music up here. What else you got going on, Pastor L?
Well, that's pretty much it, except for the Bible class coming up next Wednesday, which is going to be Keila Freeman teaching a warning for the hard-hearted.
Cool. That should be good. That's on Wednesday at 6 o'clock, and then tomorrow it's 9 o'clock, Saturday school, and then 10 o'clock. Service. So if you don't have a church service to attend and you want to hear a good word, then tune in to Wonderful Christ Ministry. Same number that you called to get into this station. It's the same information. Okay? So that's it. Bring Back Family. Rebecca and Jacqueline, thank you so much. Appreciate you guys. See, I can't
thank
get
you.
To these songs like you, Pastor. Yes, I can't do it without you guys. There you go. And yes, so tell someone about Bring Back the Family. Same place, same time next week. We're going to talk about reading and writing and and just keep this going on long as we can until we get, you know, get some results, some good results, and just have some information to give the parents. And I know that we're going to have to get out there and be foot soldiers and bang on the doors and just have, you know, a lot of information. So we're working. We're working trying to get all those things together and putting our minds together and how we're going to do all these things. And it's just like a building block club. And so block by block, bring back the family, block by block, we have work to do. So see you next week, same day, same time. Thank you.